Good morning. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to the 10th chapter of Luke, where we find an incident in the life of Jesus where we read, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" We can all relate to this scene, can't we? We've all had people come into our home, and this seems to be almost kind of spontaneously that, you know, Jesus comes into the town, and Martha and Mary are there, and undoubtedly many other disciples, and they have been invited to come into Martha's home. They receive the invitation, and many come in, and Martha's trying to be the good host and prepare things for the people, some kind of refreshments of some kind, and trying to make sure everybody's comfortable. Of course, everybody's come into the house for the same reason that Mary's come into the house, to listen to Jesus. I don't know if they were really thinking about refreshments and that type of thing, but Martha was thinking about it, and she wanted to be the good hostess and so forth. We can all relate to the way that she felt. She needed some help, and she felt like her sister should be helping her. And certainly Jesus, one who is fair about all things, is going to set this straight. And he does set it straight, but it was Martha who needed the instruction in this particular case. I want to focus this morning upon the point that Jesus made here in verse 42. One thing is needed, that good part. One thing is needed. Have you ever thought about that? One thing in life is needed. We are troubled and worried about many things. There are many things that can call our attention and call our resources and just use up our time. A lot of things we can think about that we really can't do a whole lot about. One thing is needed. And that one thing is, as Jesus described here, that good part. I want to examine that with us this morning. What is that good part? Well, it's something that we need to find. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," or "the reverence of the Lord." To revere the Lord, to revere Jehovah, to recognize that God exists, that He created all things, that He created you and me, that He holds all of His creation accountable for what He has created it to be and to do and to fulfill its purpose, including us. That reverence for the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It will motivate us to search, what does God want me to do? Why did God create us? What does He expect of us? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool does not revere God. The fool will not seek after the knowledge that comes from God. In fact, when he hears the wisdom of God, he despises it. He despises the instruction of God. In Proverbs 19 and verse 8, we read, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good." Mary had chosen the good part. What was she doing? She was listening to the teaching of Jesus. She was demonstrating a reverence for God and for His Word. She was seeking to know the will of God and demonstrating her love for God by so doing. He who keeps understanding will find good. It's not just know what's right, but reveres it and practices it, keeps it. He says, you will find good. Like Mary, we need to choose that good part. It is a choice. God doesn't force anyone to revere Him, to follow Him, to love Him, to do His will. It's our choice. And in making the choice, we demonstrate our love for God. We reciprocate our love to God. The wonderful thing about this is that we find that this good part abides. It is everlasting. We can depend upon it. We find this spoken about in Romans chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39. Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing can separate us from God. It endures. As we continue in that which is good, we are connected to that which is from God. Romans chapter 2 and verses 6 through 10, it says, "Who will render to each according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good," Mary had chosen the good part. One thing is needed. The good part, eternal life, will be granted to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek glory and honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what will they receive? Indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also the Greek. But glory, honor, peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We need to find what is good, and we'll find it in God's Word. We need to choose it, that that's the life that we're going to live, and continue in it. And as we do so, we will find glory, honor, immortality, glory, honor, and peace. But if we choose not to, we will find the indignation and wrath of God, tribulation and anguish. God wants us to seek Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's willing that all would make this choice to find and continue in the good way that He has provided. In John 5 and verses 28 through 29, Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear His voice and will come forth. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, to those that have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation." Why would Jesus say one thing is needed and then define that one thing as the good part? Because the good part is of God. The good part is from God. The good part will lead us to God, to fellowship with Him here, and to everlasting fellowship in His presence in heaven. Those that have done good will be raised to a resurrection of life. We are to love the good part, the good way, because it is of God. Everything that is good is of God. In Matthew 19 and verse 17, a passage we bring up quite often, where we find that Jesus had been addressed as good teacher. And Jesus responded, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." We have a tendency to measure good on our standards. We measure good on the curve of people that we come in contact with. People have always done that. That's what this lawyer was doing when he called Jesus a good teacher. But Jesus corrected him, and he corrected all of us. The standard of good is not measured on a curve. There is an absolute standard of good, and that is God. There is no one good but God. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments that our good God, our good Father, has given us. Jesus simply said it in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We have a tendency to say, "Well, I believe in God, and I believe I should serve God, and I need to find my way to God." And we think that we can show God how we love Him, and that God will be satisfied with that. It's not up to us to show God how we love Him. It's up to us to choose to seek God and love Him the way He has specified. Keep His commandments. That is the good part. It is the one thing that we need to be focused on. In addition, we need to follow that good part. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15 says, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." The human tendency is to treat others the way they treat us, isn't it? That when people are acting in an evil way, that we tend to want to react in an evil way. It might be the quick way to deal with a bad situation. But the instructions of our Father here is always pursue what is good. Never return evil to anyone. Now, you need to understand that sometimes we have to do unpleasant things to people who do evil things. That justice requires punishment to be delved out. That return of punishment is not evil, it is justice. It's not something one enjoys doing. It's something that people do in hopes that people will reflect and return to the way that is right. I don't know how much time you've spent around law enforcement officers and jails and things such as that. I have a little bit. But I'll tell you one thing is that I'm impressed with, is that people that take care of prisoners in jails and so forth, and sheriffs in particular, the love and the care and the concern that they have for those that are in jail. They treat those people with respect. You might say, and some people say, whether they deserve it or not. The way they look at it is that everybody deserves that. Everybody deserves to be treated the way they would want to be treated. And whether they get that same respect back to them or not, it doesn't matter. They're going to demonstrate respect towards those who might even be disrespecting them. That's always impressed me. And I have some, I could tell you several stories about that, but I'm not here to tell stories. I'm here to teach the Word of God. Always pursue what is good. Don't return evil to anyone. In Amos 5, verse 14, in the first part of verse 15, we read, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. As you have spoken, hate evil, love good." Hate evil, love good. Are there temptations in your life that you recognize them as being evil temptations? Develop a hatred towards those temptations, and you won't find them to be such a temptation. But replace that temptation with a love for what is good. Here we are, the first Sunday in 2021. Many people are making resolutions, and I believe in resolutions, and I believe that we should make resolutions. And people say, "Well, I just always break my resolution." That's okay. If you broke all the dishes in your cabinet, would you replace them? So replace your resolutions if you broke them. Try again. Do what is good. Focus on the one thing that is needed. Certainly, as we focus upon that, and we see that that's the pursuit of righteousness, recognizing that God has given us the instructions of righteousness, the way of wisdom, we need to give attention to reading His Word. We have several different reading programs, I guess you might say, that will take you through the Bible, the entire Bible. Others will take you through the New Testament in 3 months. Several years ago, I was at a congregation at Fredericktown, and we did a reading of the New Testament as a congregation, where you read through the entire New Testament in 1 month, the month of March, marching through the New Testament. And so all of those are good. You can never read the Bible too much, even though you've read it before. Every time you read it, your understanding of it will be enhanced, and your appreciation for it and your practice of the things that are there will become more and more part of your character. We need, of course, as we follow it, to practice it. 3 John in verse 11 says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." Imitate what is good. You know, when we talk about imitating something, we're talking about, well, I see it, and therefore, and now I'm going to imitate that in my life. Do you see good in your life? Do you see others who are good that you can imitate? Certainly, when you open the pages of the Bible and you see the Word of God, you see that which you can imitate. Imitate what is good. He who does good is of God. So, do good, and you'll be doing the things of God. But he who does evil has not seen God. Where do you see God? People say, "Well, I see God in the sunrise," or "I see God in the sunset." Or I see God in the ocean or in the mountains. This is where you see God. You can see God in all of His creation. You can have a perception of Him. But this is where He is revealed. This is where He reveals Himself to you individually. Proverbs 2 and verse 20 says, "So you may walk in the ways of goodness. Mary has chosen that good part." Not just to know it, but to walk in it and keep the paths of righteousness. They're not two different things. It's just two different ways of saying the same thing. The way of goodness is found in the path of righteousness. We are to hold fast to that good part. Romans 12 and verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." In other words, don't act like you love God. Genuinely love God. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor," there it is again, "hate evil. Abhor what is evil. Cling to, hold on to what is good." The good things in your life, and especially the Word of God and holding on to it, hold on to it. Continue to practice it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says, "Test all things. Hold fast to what it is, to what is good." I was finishing my coffee this morning, and I've got one of those little 10-ounce Yeti mugs, you know. That's great. If you don't have one of those insulated type of things to keep your coffee warm, unless you just like to drink your coffee real fast, I don't. But those things will keep your coffee hot for a long time and just kind of enjoy it. Well, I was finishing mine off, still had about maybe 5 ounces in there, and somehow that thing got out of my hand and all over the bedroom floor. So I was holding on to it. I wasn't clinging on to it. I should have been clinging on to it. I was taking it for granted, I guess. I think sometimes we do that. We take the way of God for granted. We're holding on to it. We've got it. But are we holding on to it for what it is, as precious as it is? Not letting it slip at any time. We are to overcome with His Word, with this good part. Romans 12 and verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Why should I seek the one thing that is needed? Have you ever been tempted with evil? It's this good part that will help you overcome evil. Know it, practice it, overcome evil by doing that which God teaches us is good. And having found it and continuing in it and holding on to it, cherish it, protect it. Romans 14 and verse 16 says, "Do not let your good be spoken of as evil." Will it? Will your good be spoken of as evil? Shake your heads this way. Yes. Yes, it will. There are those who call good evil, and they call evil good. God's good is spoken of as evil. What God defines as evil, mankind has said it's good. So don't be surprised when you're doing the one thing that is needed and you're holding on to the good part. Don't be surprised when people speak against your good as if it's evil, because they will. This passage says, "Do not let your good be spoken of as evil." Well, how can I stop it? What he's saying is defend it. Defend it. People make fun of you for appealing to the Word of God for the standard of right, for the standard of truth, for the standard of how we should worship God, for the standard of how we are saved in Christ. People make fun of you, belittle you, call you evil. It's just words. Speak the truth. Defend that which is good. Stand up for that which is right. Speak the truth in love. Because, I'll tell you one, something that's been on my mind constantly, it seems like, for the last 48 or more hours, is a phrase, every soul matters. Every soul matters. And I'll tell you what sparked that thought was, I think I was watching the football game Friday night, and there was a commercial there. It was talking about, you know, this life matters and that life matters and, you know, all that type of thing that we went through this summer and all of that. The thought that occurred to me was every soul matters. Every soul matters. And so when you defend that which is good, speak the truth in love, speak the truth respecting the one who is disrespecting the truth, because that soul matters. That soul might be influenced by the truth. Give it your best opportunity to do so. Proclaim that which is good. Matthew 12 and verses 34 and 35, Jesus, speaking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the rulers in Jerusalem, he said, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. But an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things." Well, there he was quoting from the Old Testament. He was quoting himself and what he had said, revealed in the Old Testament. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. These men were portraying themselves as good, but they weren't consistent in what was good. They would mix their will with God's revealed will and saying their will was just as important as what God had revealed in His Word. They were self-seeking, not God-seeking. They wanted the glory. They didn't want to give God all the glory. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." It's a message that needs to be heard today. It's a message that we need to be reminded of. In our days of times when we're troubled about many things, concerned about many things, we need to constantly be reminded that God reigns. That He continues to teach us that which is true and to give us peace in times of trouble. So, as we come to realize that one thing is needed, that good part. It's a good part that we need to find. And once we find it, we need to choose it. Because it abides. It doesn't change. It is the way of salvation. Not just the way of salvation in Christ And I don't mean to diminish that. I'm saying we're not just talking about the plan of salvation here or how we worship God. We're talking about living a life that is right in the sight of God. Once we find it and once we choose it, we need to love it because it is of God and God is good. Follow it. Practice it. Hold fast to it. Overcome with it. Protect it and proclaim it. Again, we come back to that incident with Martha and Jesus and Mary. Mary had chosen the good part, the one thing that was needed. But remember what Jesus said to Martha. We're told here in verse 40 that Martha was distracted. And Jesus said, "Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." There's many things in our country and in the world today and in our lives today that we can be worried and troubled about. But we need to always remember, just one thing is needed. The only thing we really need to be focused upon is that good part. And that good part hasn't changed. God is good. He has not changed. We need to proclaim Him upon the mountaintops to give people hope in times of despair. If you're here today and you're troubled about many things, it's understandable. People are. People will be. But in the midst of our trouble, we have one to look to. Can you look to God? Are you on God's side? Are you trusting in Him? Are you following His Word? Are you reading His Word? Are you praying? All of the spiritual blessings are available to us in Christ Jesus. Are you in Him? Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Except you repent, except you turn around, except you stop sinning and start practicing this good part in your life, you will die in your sins." Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven." Matthew 10, verse 32. "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16, and verse 16. "Baptized for the remission, for the taking away of your sins." Acts chapter 2, and verse 38. "Rising to walk with Him in newness of life." Romans chapter 6. Are you ready to do that? Jesus said to those who believed on Him to abide in His Word, to continue to live in His Word, to continue to practice this good part in your life, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We're told that we are baptized into Christ. Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? If not, why not? Everything's prepared here. And if you've prepared your heart to turn from that which is evil to that which is good, then we'd encourage you today to follow through and obey Him this morning. Be born again. If you're here today as a child of God and out of favor with God, you need to make things right with Him. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another, that you might be healed. John tells us that God is faithful to forgive us of our trespasses if we'll confess them before Him. If you're subject to the invitation, in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.